から俺はお前のコーチになる。そしてグランプリファイナルで優勝させるぞ。
This is Japanese Lunchtime Rush。
ああ、お望み通り教えてやるよ、本物のメガロボックスをな。
I can't believe it! Both of the players are down! How on earth do we decide the outcome? Will this go down in the record books as an incomplete game?
Hello everyone, and welcome once again to Chance Bowl, the sports anime podcast. I'm your host, Eddie Colazzo, also known as New York Mets, maybe, starting third baseman Brett Baby. And with me, as always, Dr. Brooks Oglesby, PhD.
Hi, they're also calling me Fadeaway Harkonnen.
They, they are. Your head is it's bald, but it has those like bumps on it, like a basketball does.
Yeah.
So it's a whole new type of bald just unlocked.
Mm-hmm.
It's
Stilgar Saturday.
It is, and I can't wait for it to be my personal Stilgar Saturday next week when I see this.
Yeah, it's still. It's like I can't. I feel like you're in sort of a Gom Jabbar situation yourself and not being able to see it while all the memes are happening.
Yeah, I just have to make no reaction while everyone's posting Lisa and Algeve all day, and I have to pretend like I don't know what that
it's
means.
It's so fun to say.
earlier today, we went out to eat at a diner, and everyone's looking through the menu and being like, what do I get? Closed menu in front of me, turning... and saying directly, I would like the chorizo eggs benedict. And then the server goes, Lisan Algeve.
Yeah. Yeah, using the voice. Oh, I'm good for now. I ate before I came.
Yeah, he will know our menu as if it was his own. Anyway. See Dune 2, I guess. See Worm. Huge. Gigantic.
Fantastic. Yeah, I won't tell you whether or not Worm appears. But
okay, I have a hunch. You know, I have an idea about what might happen. But we're here to talk about our friends Koriko and their basketballs. Hey, what
and
did
Rico's
you,
dad?
What? Maybe not. What did you think of these episodes?
We were talking about it off the air. I've been listening to Drake lately, so I'm trying to shift back into Koriko mode.
Yeah.
my hand is in the pain box.
Uh-huh.
Oh yeah, I did like these episodes. I mean, I was there. Yeah.
I forgot that we get two iconic scenes in back-to-back episodes. I thought,
yeah, these were good.
The second episode moment happened way later, but it's now. They started us off with that one, so I was very excited about that.
Yeah, we start out slow. Rico puts Koriko in the Kali vice grip for some reason because the first years have been acting up.
Well, if you remember, Kakumi went to America.
He's replenishing his burger stat.
Specifically thanks to their short-term study abroad program, which is located in Los Angeles, America.
We're going to get there, but I sure hope there's more that we hear about his big trip to America.
There is.
Because he sort of just... He plays one pickup game on South Beach and then comes back. I'm taking my talents to South Beach. That was fun.
I will say
back.
at least something happens based on his trip to America later on.
That's good.
Yeah. But I do like the idea of a short-term study abroad program. Like, first of all, like where you just go for 2 weeks to apparently study. And
yeah,
also,
it's called like a mission trip.
Yeah, and also that it's strictly for sports. Like, you just go have to go play outdoor summer hoops in
yeah,
L.A.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you can come back to school and go there.
You haven't seen Madame Web, have you?
I have not seen Madame Web yet. So.
I know we're on the tail end of Madame Web fever, but there's like a 4-minute span of that movie where they travel to Peru while being like, the government is after all of them under false pretenses, which, like, you know, it's hard to sort of fly it was post 9/11 in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It also happens during a weird specific time in the world.
Okay.
And they just sort of go to Peru and come back in an unexplained way in like 4 minutes in the movie. And that's sort of how Kagami's trip felt.
Is Peru where her mother was studying spiders when she was murdered or whatever? Okay. So it does make sense for them to be there, I guess.
Yeah, as the scenes that John Mulaney was referring to were happening, I was pointing and clapping.
Yeah.
Like, damn, he really did see this shit.
This I didn't realize at the time this was our last The Other Self ever. So, no more Let Me Higher, Get Me Higher.
Yeah, I hope you're higher because it's going to be a long time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I was wondering when we come back from the song if we were flashing back again to Rico's dad saying go play cops and robbers, but no, this is another one because the losers have to do double strength fart leg training.
So yeah, I'm glad. Yeah, it's sad that Let Me Hire is going away, but the fart leg skills are still
fart,
here.
Fart legs forever.
Fartlex to unlock my special moves.
Yeah. I do like that Rico says, can they really... They're just straight up calling them special moves in the show.
It's
like,
cool, yeah. We're trying to get Azuki his finisher.
Yeah. Rico says, can they really master special moves in less than a month? And brother, I sure hope so. Because yeah. If not, you are going to be severely outmatched at this...
They ain't got shit else going on.
Yeah, that's true. They're just running in the woods all day.
It's one of those things where, like, you know how if they gave you, like, a month off of work, and summer doesn't count, obviously, but, like, if they gave you, like, a month where, like, you should be working but you're not, like, you could and you would write the Great American Novel in that span. I just need that month off. It's the same way with, like, I could pretty much perfect any basketball move in a month.
I would really like it, though, if it's like, okay, due to this high engagement fartlek training, it's like Hyuga has a new shot, Kuroko has a new pass, but one of them, I don't know, just fucking Izuki comes back and it's just like, guys, I learned how to shoot a fireball. And it's like, yeah, oh, okay, how can we watch barrier jumper fireball just blast dudes. Like, we learned they can get away with it, you know, like just start launching projectiles at the enemy team. So
Kuroko's trying to get the ball in, but all the options are really locked up for his ignite pass. Special beam cannon!
Yeah, just someone gets a foul called on them.
Oh, there's a hole now, great.
Someone gets a foul called on them, and there's an immediate hole in the referee's chest. Just,
Oh, the referees are going to let him play through this, all right. A little street ball.
I did like that Rico's dad, he's like, this guy's learning this, and this player needs to improve this, and the remaining three will figure out something. He doesn't even know who they are either.
No.
They'll find a new way to, like, improve bench morale so that when you rest, it's going to be one of those, like, they're like support characters. You know, they're not the main DPS, but they have a passive ability that's like when you're on the bench with them, you recover energy at 2x the rate. So, like, you want them on the bench. You know, they're not your front lines attackers.
Yeah, Kogane can give Tepe, like, an early respawn once his ult is charged.
Exactly, yeah. Or he has, like, a revive or something. So, oh, that would be really good if Kogane got, a revive, because then Tepe could just die in every single game.
Yeah.
And they would have...
Oh, he could call it 9 lives.
That's pretty good.
Yeah!
Okay, Kogane, you're back on the good list. Just learn how to resurrect someone.
Yeah, we forgot about all that shit you did last time.
And also, he's like, I don't know about Kuroko. He's whatever.
He's a mutant.
He's X-Man. He needs to
He's a mutant, as we see Kuroko just, like, doing the Tyrion Lannister shadow on the court where he looks very big and tall.
Yeah.
And, oh, he's I don't know, Rico. He's heading for a wall, and he's going to have to surpass this wall. Many such cases.
Kuroko busting on through. And he just is standing there normally like a little boy.
Meanwhile, our friend Taiga is playing English-American basketball in South Beach with fucking Crocodile Dundee.
Yeah, the Australian-Americans are back again, and they're like, hey, Taiga, pass me the ball, mate.
What's the matter, Taiga? That's not a knife.
Yeah, and he says, shut up, I'm getting the hang of it. What was he getting the hang of? He knows how to play basketball.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, this was all the English we got in this scene, because he was there for 7 minutes.
Yeah.
He played one quarter of basketball and immediately turned around and went back to LAX and flew.
Yeah, I had a flight from Tokyo to Kyoto, and I had an 80-minute layover in South Beach.
And then they show all of the, like, Generation of Miracles practicing, and the first one they show is Kisei, and I don't care about that shit at all. Like,
yeah, you gotta start small, though.
We can stop acting like he's gonna win a basketball game.
You can't be like, here's what Akashi's face looks like for the first time, and also what his swag is all about, and then Kisei is, and the,
yeah, exactly.
As well.
So we go around to all the different teams, and then we go to Purple Man's team, and Kagami's life brother gets his shit just swatted away. And he's like, oh, so you do care about practice, don't you, Purple Man? And he says, I don't like practice, but I hate losing even more, which is very true.
Right, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So we finally meet Akashi for real in his school.
Seichon.
And he gets a towel thrown to him from my boy. He's my favorite guy on that team, easily.
Oh.
Other than Akashi, of course, because he's, like, the main character of the show.
Right.
But I like the guy that's talking about him. And
the guy that's, like, that's bad boy coded?
A little bit. Maybe.
And he's the one that's like, for him, winning is like breathing. It's basically bodily function.
Yeah, he says it's not something it seeks. It's just a natural part of his life, which is how I hype up all my friends, too.
Yeah, the doctors also diagnosed me with winning disease, and it's terminal.
Yeah, exactly. And he just, like, puts a towel on his head and walks away. Almine isn't practicing. He's just spinning a ball on his finger in, like, the devious manner, where you can tell that he's about to unleash some dark tricks on the hardwood. You know shit's getting started when the narrator comes in.
And he's there's some real, like, wrestling commentator shit happening. There's three high school ball tournaments. The summer one used to be the best, but up next on Kuroko, many are saying, actually, the winter cup is the coolest one, and it starts right now.
It's kind of like, you know, all the eyes are going to be on the main title, but the intercontinental title, that's the one you want, because that's like the workers' title. You know, that's like, yeah.
Now, for 40 years, WrestleMania has been the premier event, but this year at WWE's Unforgiven NXT TakeOver, all eyes are going to be on the stars of today and tomorrow.
For quadruple elimination chamber, once and twice in a lifetime, you're not going to want to miss the biggest event of the year. Biggest premium live event ever. So for the purposes of our plot, the Winter Cup is the biggest one you want to win now.
Yeah, I'm actually going to be bored after the Winter Cup when the other two tournaments happen, because, it's not going to be the Winter Cup.
So they do their ceremony and Kagami isn't there, and they're like, oh, he forgot about the time difference, so he missed the opening. Bro, the time difference, even from, like, California to Japan is, like, not at least 9 hours. Like, he is not making this
game. Yeah, it's not like I didn't set my clock back an hour.
Exactly, he's not gonna be, like, 25 minutes late. If that's the case, he's not getting here till the next game, at the very least.
I got worried, because him not showing up, I was like, oh no, are they going to make Rico's dad go out there and have to ball in his stead?
Yeah, he's gonna have to have, like, the Click cover art done to him to, like, get all the wrinkles out of his
doctor's
face.
Doctor's note, I am 12.
So, Kuroko gets a text on his cellular device, and he's like, I have to go see Akashi, the captain. And then all the first-year Saiyan guys are looking around, and they see all the Generation of Miracles and just, like, other high school players who are 2 years older than them. And they're like, how are we supposed to compete with these monsters? It's like, don't worry, bro, you won't be. Like, that's not your responsibility this time. So some guy just goes with Kuroko. Why do they give him, like, a little, like, a...
Okay. I'm so glad... Hey, man, who the fuck is Furry Hata Koki?
Yeah, he doesn't have...
Who the fuck is that?
He doesn't have two names. He's just Furry Hata. That's it. He's like, that's you know, Furry Hata?
I was so confused. My note is Kuroko shows up with some guy who I was like, he seems the closest to Kogane, but, like, he doesn't have the mouth. So I was like, maybe his special ability was becoming normal. And he's getting all starstruck about, oh, geez. Oh, geez, Kuroko. Kisei's here. He's like the magic. He's the magic copying man.
I'm just gonna go through Koki Furuhata's KurokoNobasuke.fandom.com page and just see if he ever plays in a game. Okay, so I'm gonna do that now. Okay, so far we're at Winter Cup, and his only thing there is when he got scared because he saw Akashi. During the following matches, Furuhata is seen on the bench cheering for his team and giving commentary on the match. That's good.
Yeah, that's fine.
Let me
stay off my fucking screen.
Okay, he does appear in games moving forward. So maybe this was his, like, introduction, you know? Like,
well, he did not maximize his minutes.
We had to know who Furuhata was for when he does appear in the finals and he has to take, like, the final free throw to win the game, you know?
Yeah, I guess that'll... Like, I'll keep my heart open, but I was very displeased that just, like, some guy showed up.
Okay, in his, like, little special info section, one thing he is not good at is standing in front of a lot of people. Bro, you're on the world stage right now, so...
Yeah. But, I mean, honestly, it's 38 episodes in, and, like, Akashi really hasn't, like... stood in front of people without a lens flare that obscures his face.
It would really suck if that whole time they've been, like, shadowing Furuhata in all these ways, like, obscuring his face, and we couldn't know his true darkness, and then he's just like, oh, I'm gonna piss my pants!
Oh, yeah. Check, please.
Yeah.
This guy sucks.
So if they send Furuhata as, like, I guess a guide for Kuroko because he doesn't know where to go? I don't know. Anyway.
Maybe it's when you're about to meet, like, the coolest, most based character, it would make sense to also have, you know, it's another wrestling thing. Mm. When you're debuting, like, the new monster heel, you want to send, like, the tiniest, shittiest person out there possible.
Exactly.
Like, you want to remind somebody, like, here's how uncool somebody can be.
Yeah, and here's how cool someone is. And Furuhata just died by looking at a guy.
Yeah.
So, all the miracles are here. And then, today's lucky item is scissors, obviously. So that's important for later. Minorima does tell Kisei to die again, which I appreciate. And then Akashi shows up last, even though he's the one. Someone says, even though you're the one who summoned us here, like he cast a spell, a virtual spell. And my first note about him is this guy rules. He's so cool.
He's cool. He didn't even let Purple Man have the scissors for his special treat.
Oh, yeah, he's like, no, I need those for a trick that I'm gonna do. Watch out. Hold on, I need to do my trick.
We also see that he's, like, a little small, which
he's
I
not,
think is...
Yeah. He's
which
not,
I think is fun.
He's not 10 feet tall, and he was the captain, so you know.
Yeah, so you know he's got some, like, he's got some deep-seated issues that are motivating him to be the best.
So, now that... I would like you... I feel like we've done something like this before, but what do you think his, like, special ability is? Because, you know, we have the guy who can hit a shot from anywhere, a guy who's really tall, street ball legend, and Kisei has exploding kneecaps.
I feel like I'm running out of, like, basketball things to be good at. Like, you know, it could just be, yeah, he's really good at passing or shooting a mid-range jumper or whatever.
See, I forgot about Kuroko. He did it to me.
Yeah, he's funny like that. Uh-huh. So I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to say that he can, like, actually, like, in a way that is noticeable by all, he can also, he can just stop time like Dio.
So he can, it's not a vanishing drive situation. He can literally stop
No,
time.
It's like, oh, they get all the scientists in the world to be like, can you see if there's something about just, like, the diagonal vision that's, like, it's a trick?
Uh-huh.
No, okay. It just works.
Mm-hmm. So he does say... I came to talk to all my teammates who I will call by their first names, and there's someone who doesn't belong. Sorry, but could you leave? And he looks at Furuhata, who just is about to use explosion on himself, but Kagami shows up, and he's just like, hey, what's up, my bro Furuhata, who I hang out with all the time?
Yeah.
He shows up because he arrived from Los Angeles right now immediately.
Kagami was doing the thing that happens in the first scenes of movies, where he's, Furuhata, my teammate, hello.
Yeah, my teammate.
Isn't it great to see you outside of the court where we often play?
Are you ready for the big game tonight? We're going up against Toho Academy.
Yeah.
Anyway, Akashi says, hey man, can I borrow those scissors? And immediately does, like, a fucking Baraka lunge at Kagami's face immediately, which is awesome.
He slices his face with the scissors and then says, I forgive you this time, but when I say leave, he's cool, let's go.
He's freaking epic. And I do like that he's like, oh, actually, I wanted these scissors to give myself a shitty haircut, so I have to do that now. Because
yeah,
Kagami...
my man's going through a breakup or something. He starts cutting his bangs while doing his monologue about, like, every morning I wake up and I win waking up and I major in victory studies.
This man's, as he's giving himself the worst haircut of all time, he says, I show no mercy to those who oppose me, not even my own parents. I'm just imagining, like, okay, Akashi, honey, remember, you have to eat all your vegetables, Bene Gesserit voice. No! Okay, honey, enjoy your game today.
Okay, do you want me to, like, do you need me to take you to, like, academic team? No, I'm taking the worm.
I'm riding the worm to school again. Okay. All right,
son, I love you.
Wear your helmet. Anyway.
You haven't forgotten our promise, have you, mother?
That's what he says to everyone, and then he's like, all right, see ya. So Kagami is like, okay, I know I did just get my face almost stabbed by a weird little red man, not to be confused
with
having
the Solan Ballers sit alone.
But he says, besides, my head's full of thoughts of him right now. So he's thinking about, his brother, boyfriend.
Yeah, sure thing, man. Like, me when I, like, have a close platonic enemy, my head is full of thoughts of him
at this moment.
Reminds me of you.
I can't even focus on basketball. Getting my face stabbed by scissors reminds me of him.
Yeah, he's alone in the locker room listening to he went over to South Beach just to get a hit clip of Marvin's room.
Yeah. I still see your shadows in my room.
Yeah. He would love Juice WRLD.
He was.
Oh my god.
So then we go back to the court where all the teams are, and there's a bunch of people in the stands cheering. And then the guys who don't play on Saren are like, are we popular? Are they cheering for us? And Hugo's like, no, every other team is way more popular than us, and they're all here.
Yeah, there was a fucking terrible Shimada Mark conversation happening.
Oh, it's so good. We'll get there. or the one... Okay, so the teams come out, and then as Almine's team comes out, we don't see the Shimada Mark. We just see a cool, like, freeze frame of the team walking. And one of them goes, it's the rising tyrant, Toho Academy, and the prodigal scorer of the Generation of Miracles, Almine Daiki. No one can beat him one-on-one.
Hey, man, can you sit down? We, like, we bought these tickets, like...
Bro, I know! That's why I'm here!
Yeah. And then they just have a fucking Magic Johnson conversation about how, like, they say that three-point shooters can get higher points per shot than inside shooters.
But also, if you can do a fucking formless shot, it doesn't matter, because you can shoot without form. Something to think about.
Yeah. And at this point, the theme song kicks in, which says how you know that Kagami and Almine are about to face off, and we're cooking now.
I did notice there was a quick shot where Rico's like, oh, I hope all the boys aren't worried, and they all have the exact same DreamWorks smirk on their face. So I guess that means they're ready for the challenge.
Kagami came back and gave everybody Kagami's secret stuff, which was just Mac sauce.
Kuriko closes his eyes in fond memories return of playing with Almine, and I don't know. I think Almine might like Kuriko's basketball, but he pretends that he doesn't. But
that's an interesting and unique idea that I feel like you're the first person to ever tap into. Because every time they run into each other, wow, we used to work really well as teammates, even though we have communication issues outside of the court. But something about just like our bodies being in sync.
I know. After watching the series for, you know, the fourth time, it's just something that it's very subtle, but.
Right, I believe we call that a crack ship, because there's no there's very little. They don't even interact, really.
Exactly, they never. And now it's time to settle things once and for all. Okay, even if Saren wins, it's going to be like 1-1. Like, they're going to need to do a best of three. You know,
Almine, Bomaye, here we go.
Toho's coach looks quite villainous, if I do say so.
Yeah, I don't like
him. He's got some darkness in his heart. And you know shit's getting serious now, because we get the cut-in of all the player cards with their, like, height and weight on them.
That was cool and helpful.
Did you notice what Kuriko's position was?
Small?
It was question mark.
That's pretty good.
Everyone else, like, shooting guard, point guard, Kuriko. Oh! I don't know. No,
this guy ain't on the roster.
Yeah, so then the game's, it's about to tip off, and Riko's dad shows up in the stands looking like the white Kiryu. And he starts looking for Kachan. That's from a different show.
Yeah,
that's
a
different guy.
Yeah, I've been enjoying the season, but I wouldn't mind seeing a little Kachan.
If Bakugo,
he's sitting next to Mabo.
Yeah, it's you know, our favorite character Mabo from Kuroko's Basketball.
Yeah, which is also from another show. He's the psycho, from what I understand.
I did. And then it pans over, and then there's, like, another old man there, and I was like, oh, what team does this guy coach? Isn't it Shutoku? And then the camera just continues to pan, and you see the rest of Shutoku sitting in the stands next to him.
Yeah, the orange boys. Oh, okay, gotcha.
I was like, oh, yeah, okay, got it. And they're reminiscing about their baller days, you know? He's like, oh, I'm
hey, man, why is the camera of this show on Pervert Dad as the Winter Cup, the premier basketball tournament, arrived? Like,
it would be
as it
really
starts
funny
we
it
hear was, the tip off
it would be, I was, it it's, be if it's behind
it's like
him.
The zone of interest moment. Like, it's like, I think that we should be paying attention to the sounds that are happening out there. Why are we looking at this?
It's a new kind of, because, you know, we always get the Shimada Mark cut-ins, but what if we viewed it from the stands as a fan would? You know, like, so we're just, like,
looking at two old perverts instead of the game that we bought tickets for. Yeah. Because we don't even have to watch, because there's a Shimada Mart in front of us who's saying, the tip-off is where the first possession is starting. If you don't get your first possession, you're starting off catching up. Oh, cool, man. That's great.
I feel like they're putting way too much emphasis on, like, you gotta set the tempo first. Bro, games score upwards of 100 points per team. I feel like you're going to be scoring a lot. Like, I don't know. Maybe that's just me. Maybe that's why I don't have, like, the true baller spirit or something. But
no, I think you do. I don't listen to them. I'm having a hard time being threatened by the player on Almania's team who looks like Chieha Setanaka. And then, like, Like, that player throws up a brick, and then Aomine alley-oops it, and it's... I mean, oh yeah, we did just say that it doesn't really matter who scores first, but if it is an Aomine alley-oop, it is kind of over.
It is, yeah.
You're also going to have to unlock a new form of your Ignite Pass to get past that one.
He definitely did not intend to alley-oop that shit. He was shooting.
Oh, fuck no. No, that guy was like, that was... I've been there. Mm. I've thrown up a brick or two.
Just as planned. Thank you, Aomine-san. You always know exactly what to do. Also, we should note that Saren does get the ball first, and Izuki immediately gets that shit stolen. I guess you're fucking eagle. I didn't see that, bro. Come on. So then Saren gets the ball back, and then bro, you know I was losing it when they started talking about that form. About that stance. There's no weaknesses anywhere.
Yeah, I didn't see one.
So then they're like, oh, that form, is it an Ignite Pass? And he says, no, it's a little different. It's Ignite Pass Kai. And then the episode
ends. Don't worry, guys. The Ignite Pass doesn't usually rotate. I'll be able to catch it.
Don't worry, guys. This time it's like a gun. All right. You're going to need to explain that. But that's the end of this episode. So yeah. I do like that we got through maybe 4 seconds of basketball in this one.
That's a good point.
I know it's not entirely about what happens on the court, because we did have a scissors match outside.
Yeah.
But,
it's like that shit where it's, you know, Super Bowl, 60 minutes of actual, like, on-field gameplay, 3 hours of commercials.
Yeah,
this was 4 seconds of basketball and at least 6 minutes of Mabo conversation.
And Mab, we had to find out what... You don't care what Mabo's up to?
I don't like who Mabo's hanging out with. I feel like he's fallen in with the wrong crowd.
Okay, well, one, his name is Masaki Nakatani. Mabo is his nickname that only his close friends
can
call
him. I think I might call him Mabo.
I feel like Mabo is kind of, like, way cooler to be known as.
I think I'll probably call him. I think we need to get Purple Man a Mabo-style nickname.
So, I went to his trivia section. Well, first, okay, oh my god, there's never been someone with such, like, highs and lows. This is like a roller coaster in Mabo's, like, preferences and hobbies and stuff.
Yeah.
So we'll go up and down just like I did. His motto is restraint and tolerance. Kind of a boring motto, if you ask me. His special skill is finger snapping. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Like, not great.
Like the bad boy?
Maybe. Oh, who do you think gave you that finger snap?
Whoa, yeah.
So now here's where we're going. Okay. What his dislike is Kagetora. So I did click the I did click the blue link to Kagetora. That is Rico's
dad. That's dad.
So good. Up again. His best basketball move is 3-point shoot. Okay. Stock's going up. We're going to end it. We're getting nervous. We're going to peak here because can't get better than this. His type of girl is his wife.
Yes, sir.
Let's fucking go, Mabo.
Yeah.
All right. And just for reference,
I don't think this is a spoiler to ask. Mm-hmm. Who has, like, a longer fandom page? Is it Mabo or Furuhata?
There was a book published, Kuro Fest, the official Kuroko no Basuke official fan book, where basically every character had these little, like, blurbs about them, you know?
Okay.
The book reveals names of unnamed characters, like Kogane's sister Akane, or Akane.
That's cool. I bet she's fun.
She didn't have a link, though. So I do want to see a little bit about Kagetora's, his specialty is car drifting.
That's cool.
His type of woman is also his wife. So, I mean, maybe he's, like, getting, you know, it's always good when you have to go to, like, the fan translated handbook to get, like, good reasons to like a character.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember Kogane's sister, headband. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Any others you want me to look up their special traits and interests or stats or anything?
Yeah, what's Akashi's special thing?
Okay, I will find that for you. I'll go to...
Oh, Kenji. Thanks.
All right, I'm scrolling down. And I'll give you stuff as long as it doesn't spoil anything, you know?
Sure, yeah.
Oh, this one sure is long. Okay.
He's a special little guy, what can I tell you?
So his hobbies are shogi and international chess.
Okay. Likely thing for him to enjoy.
His favorite food is tofu soup. His motto is quick and decisive. And he hates disobedient dogs because they don't listen to him.
Oh, no, I hope he doesn't run into number two at some point.
Man, and number two's
that
nice,
would, that would make for some good TV.
Oh, man, if number two, like, peed on his leg or something.
Oh, dude. If number two was Midorima's comfort item of the day, oh, no.
Okay, according to Kurofess, Akashi and Kuroko were planned to be siblings before Fujimaki canceled the idea. The two have similar hairstyles due to the original concept of them being related.
Wow.
One's okay, blue and one's red, that. You know?
Yeah, that's, wow, that's, if you think about it.
I know. Just something to consider.
Kisei's yellow, that's the third one.
Yeah.
Something to think about.
That's the third brother.
He's the special Pikachu edition.
yeah, exactly. You have to use Kisei to beat Brock as soon as you start the game, and it's just fucking miserable. He hasn't even copied anyone's moves yet, so you can't do anything.
No way. I'm catching a Mankey, fuck this.
Yeah, I'm going into the Viridian Forest, fuck you, Kisei.
Yeah.
Well, that's the first episode. Before we get into the second, let's check in with the Patreon.
Patreon.com/postgameofthrones.
If you'd like, you can donate to us. $1 a month gets you all of our bonus content, including Words and Deeds that I did with Brooks about Metal Gear, Carry Me Home that I did with Kim about Jim Carrey, and now 3-Star Special, where we attempt to watch the most average movies of all time. This month's 3-Star Special entry, as chosen by Kim, will be Runaway Bride, featuring... who's in it? What's her name? I was gonna say Sandra
Joan Cusack?
Bullock. I was gonna say Sandra Bullock, but I know this.
Oh, you're her. Thinking of Pretty Woman's.
I'm thinking of Pretty
Julia
Woman.
Robert.
Julia Robert, yeah, of course.
And Richard Gears.
Richard Gears are turning just thinking about it.
Uh-huh, exactly.
$5, you can request music for us to listen to on Fun Point, our music podcast, and you get shoutouts at the end of every episode. And $10 gets you special user status in the Discord, and I had to leave that part blank so I can go back and edit in what the
We'll add something.
What the users get now. Patreon.com/postgameofthrones. Thank you. Next we have episode 14, Useless Effort. So we do see the Ignite Pass Kai, which looks fucking... Is this like... I feel like guys have done moves. Like, Kagami does, like, the you know, behind-the-back formless shot or whatever. Is this the first, like, energy beam we've actually seen in the show?
I feel like that's probably... Yeah, because I feel like if
like,
we
guys
had
have
beams,
done, like, moves...
They would have used beams on Tepe.
They would have killed him with beams. Yeah.
But they respected the game. Exactly. Unlike these newfangled first years who will just shoot beams at whoever.
They're just spamming nonstop, and it's like, come on, you gotta have the fundamentals down before you start firing off key blasts, you know?
Yeah, the bad boy's hair just turned blonde. I think we gotta get out of here. We gotta call a timeout.
So, I would like to... I don't know what this song's called at the start. It's still by our friends in Grand Rodeo, but it's not the other self. And
Some emotional crooning as we watch, like, Kuroko trying to make his first ever free throw.
They did not have the budget that the other self had, because when he gets to let me hiya, and they're all doing dunks and shit, nowhere near the... I do like the when they go, like, whoa! But I like that in most songs.
Yeah, so. It's got a little pop punk. There's also like a mysterious Olivier Armstrong figure to meet.
Bro, Yosen's coach. Hello, ma'am.
A blonde and mysterious figure who I definitely didn't meet in season one at some point.
Where could she be from? What country could she be from? I don't know.
It's hard to say. I can't wait to meet her though.
Yosen's coach is also there, and she has like a stick or a staff or something, or probably a blade. And she
that's
looks cool because
cool
she wears a suit. So
yeah.
Anyways,
Kagami and Purple Man seem to get like the Jotaro Dio slot where they do like the meaningful walk past each other,
and then
near the end.
And then they have like a red and blue kind of. I was going to complain that not enough teams use different colors, but Purple Man's team is purple as well. So
that's cool.
I can't be too mad about that. That
must
me,
have been so relieved when he ended up on the purple team.
Me choosing a team to be on. I don't know. I could be on the number one ranked team of the nation, or I could be on the team with like green in their colors. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna play for like the Nuggets and be out there in like a yellow jersey. I'm not doing that shit.
It's not happening. So Kuroko does Ignite Pass Kai, and I mean, he says, passing right in front of me. Oh ho! Why don't you pass closer then? And then he says that, and the camera cuts back to Kuroko, who has like electric energy crackling off of him on the court.
Yeah,
it's like you gotta watch out for that.
He's floating over a crater, and he turns out Mine's arm into like a wacky waving inflatable arm flailing.
They replayed that Ignite Pass Kai like 6 times from different.
That's how Mine's brain for the rest of his life.
Yeah. So Tepe gets it, and it just blasts through Kagami's hand. He has a big comedy hole in it, like he was shot with a cannon.
Yeah. I mean, he's got the stigmata.
Yeah. I did like that Tepe gets it, and then he goes for, like, a simple-ass layup. Like, you gotta dunk that shit, bro.
Yeah. Kuroko passed because that's all he could do.
But
he luckily he uses his right of postponement.
You forgot about the right of postponement. He's able to pass it behind his back to someone else. And then they do the like LeBron James and Dwayne Wade pose, like,
yes,
under
sir.
The hoop. That was cool. I do like that. So Kuroko does that pass. And like as soon as whoever, I don't know, fucking Izuki, you know, gets a layup, the camera cuts to Kisei, who's standing in the crowd, and he goes, "Ignite Pass Kai." How did he know that? How did he know that's what it's called?
They're calling it, he told me before the show, he wants to call it the Ignite Pass Kai.
And then they do the thing where they're like cutting to each team who's watching. And it's like, wow, that pass from Kuroko sure was crazy. It was nuts. Midorima, imagine a gun, if you will.
Midorima is like, has to be some kind of flight risk. Like, there's no way he's, with his situation, there's no way he's like able to travel through security ever.
We get
like you can have one carry-on and one one personal item. Well, my personal item is this sideways Glock that I hold at all times. I just need to have it on me. I'm not going to use it.
It's a 3D like mock-up. It's doing, what was that show where it was like, who would win, a samurai or a Roman centurion? You know, it's like one of those things. It's just a gun, and it's showing us the physics of a bullet blasting out of a barrel. Anyway, that's how Kuroko passes. So he can murder you with the fucking basketball pass, which is kind of cool if you ask me.
Yeah, and then the team gets so mad that they start like height shaming Kuroko and playing like monkey in the middle and shit, passing high. Very sad.
Really, but if anything, we're still, you know, 14 seconds into this game. If anything, it's going to show that Short Kings can rise up and kind of, you know.
It's kind of funny that it took like 40 episodes for any team to be like, what if we just like pass it over his head?
Yeah, what if we just kind of throw it up high, you know, like that?
They keep forgetting how he's little because they forget about him altogether. That's
exactly a trick. Exactly. As this is going on, our friend Imayoshi is talking about the Demon's Gate. So
yeah.
I don't know what that is, but he was going off.
It's probably
on that.
Nothing.
I do want to check something quick. I want to go down to his, what we learned about him from Kurofez. His basketball skill is behind the back pass. And he spends his free time fishing. Hell yeah, brother.
That's cool. I'm glad he has like some solo activity he can go do far
that he
away
can just
from
do
me.
On his own time, yeah. So good for him. He's in the student council committee, by the way.
Maybe he's thinking about fishing while he's watching Kagami and Aomine just staring at each other for the top of the key for 5 minutes.
Yeah. Isn't there a rule against that?
There's like a 24-second shot clock. You don't want to have a sort of 5-second style violation.
Okay, so Imayoshi's like, whatever you do, do not open the Demon's Gate. And it's Kagami against Aomine, and everyone in the crowd is like, wow, a one-on-one versus... We know. But they are all saying that if you get your shit stopped in an ISO situation one time, the game is over.
Yeah,
which
that's
never stopped James Harden before.
Wow,
so,
light him up.
Yeah, I'm gonna get his ass. So they're just like staring each other down for a bit, and then it's finally like, okay, Kagami, he's like, fuck it, I'm gonna go for it, and he starts to drive and just gets his shit absolutely obliterated. He pulls a 6-spin move, but Aomine slaps the ball away. He's too
right.
He's too fast. Psych! That's an image of the future. Lisan Elgive.
He was Madam
Webbing. Lisan Elgive. He saw the future. He knows.
His web connected us all. He learned it in South Beach.
So he was actually envisioning that happening to him, and instead he just simply passes the ball away and does not allow that to happen.
Yeah, he says out loud to his opponent, "Well, I can't win. It pisses me off, but right now I cannot win." So. Here's the ball.
I do like that they cut around the crowd and everyone's like, oh, what a fucking wimp. He wouldn't even take him on one-on-one. And all the players who know real ball are like, that was just an insanely high IQ play.
That was a 40 hyper chess maneuver. Wow.
Yeah, the high level game was going on between them in only 5 seconds. Look at the subtle movements of the jab step and the pump fake. Real heads know. So they call a timeout and Kagami's like, yeah, he would have fucking... just destroyed my ass, and everyone's like, yes, true. So this time, Hyuga decides he will simply make his 3-pointers, and they'll win the game that way.
Right. We also learned that Tepe says, if Kuroko does too many big passes, he'll die, which he died recently, so he would know.
Exactly. You only have so many Ignite Pass Kais in you for, like, your lifetime. So you really have to watch out for those. You know, use them when the moment calls for it.
You know, the only other time I've ever seen somebody else, like, think that they'll die if they pass is probably LeBall Hogg.
Okay, get his ass.
Yeah, that's right.
Isn't he, like, number three all-time in assists or something?
Yeah, but, you know, passing's different back in the day. Like, Larry Bird passes should be worth, like, three passes that, like, who's a player that played? James Harden.
Yeah, exactly. LeBron James, I was incorrect. He is fourth all-time. But, you know, he's like an accumulator. You know, it's just because he's been playing for 57 years that...
Well, that he only passes because he's scared because he knows that he's not as good as Jordan or Kobe. So he's exactly. Like, I can't put up any shots.
He knows he wouldn't... He correctly assessed the power
only bounce pass
of Michael Jordan, and he knew he had to pass it away to someone else to score. Yeah.
I don't feel like he should be on the Lakers. That's a basketball opinion.
Jason Kidd, second all time. I always liked Jason Kidd. I thought he was cool.
Yeah. He has like a kind of a... I liked his name.
Because it said kid on the back of his...
Yeah, I related to it.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah, me in 1997 or whatever. Yeah, this guy, I don't know, something about him.
Yeah, if there was... in 2001, if there was a basketball player in the dunk contest named, like, Kevin First Grader, I would be like, that's awesome.
Man, I hope this guy has a good career. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Anyway, what the fuck's going on in this game?
Hugo, sixth grade student.
Yes.
Anyways, Hugo puts up the ugliest form three you've ever seen, and then says the worst line you've ever seen, which is, the first years aren't the only ones who improved, you apologetic mushroom.
I forgot that he calls him that.
And then he cracks his neck, indicating that Game Breaker mode has been activated.
Yeah,
so it's effective, so I guess I can't really talk shit about it.
I really like that Kuroko's special pass has blue lightning energy that crackles off it, and he becomes a fucking gun. And Hugo's is like, taste this, my special move, a step back three. Launched. Got it. That's it.
Me defending Hugo. Well, I know that an outside shooter can only step forward when they jump. My God.
It is the inviolable shot barrier jumper. So
right, I mean,
which,
yeah,
I guess you do kind of need a name that matches. Like, Ignite Pass Kai sounds like what it looks like, and I guess Barrier Jumper kind of does too. You know,
Barrier Jumper Bean,
exactly. So that's his move. So Hugo cracks his neck when he's on fire. Everyone knows this, and this is why he hasn't done it at all for the entire.
Yeah, I simply would have done that when I was like playing a high stakes game against my ex husband. But what do I know?
Yeah. So, anyway, the mushroom guy, I guess his ability, as we learned from Imayoshi, is...
It's a very convenient ability.
The stronger his opponent, the more accurate Sakurai becomes. I don't think that's true. I don't think
he just
anyone
has,
works
he has
that.
Like, Mario Kart programming, where it's like,
yeah.
You're in first place, they're gonna rubber band around and come
exactly.
Get you.
Exactly. Oh, so you can do, like, a cool crossover and shoot from anywhere? Check out this. Rubber banding, boing.
Yeah, just... But if you're doing badly, I'm also doing badly, so we're...
Exactly.
We're like brothers.
So then the game's going on, and then Kuroko, this time, we've never seen this happen before, but this time he very obviously looks over his shoulder at Kagami, who is there, and then he does his vanishing drive, so I'm sure that's nothing.
Yeah, and meanwhile, like, Kisei's, like, Reek, who I don't think we've ever met before, he's like, hey, Kisei, did you know that if in a three-point shootout, if any other shot is taken, it would be to admit defeat, which would mean that it would be a guaranteed loss later in the game if you pass it inside to Tepe. Wow.
Who is Wakamatsu? I've definitely said this before.
Wakamatsu, no. The blonde one from Toho?
I was thinking of Kisei's guy, his little, like, gremlin that he has follow him around.
Right, his like...
I feel like it's similar to that. It's like Kasamatsu or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't
Shiratorizawa.
Know. Shiratorizawa. Because
I was one of my Meat Space style friends is watching Haikyuu, and when we met up last night, he was just starting season two, and it was during Shira Torizawa's conversation with Little Orange and Big Milk, and it was where he says, "I'm Hinatsushoyo, and I'm from the concrete."
From the concrete, that's fucking.
And my
cool,
friend
dude.
Asked me, "Hey, you've watched season two? What was the big guy's name?" And I couldn't tell him.
It's Shira Torizawa.
I was like, I can tell you where he's from.
I can tell you the school he attends, but not...
I think my brain pulled up Imayoshi, which is not true.
No, that's the glasses guy in this one.
Yeah, that's evil Hyuga.
Yeah. Yukio Kasamatsu is the captain of Kaijo.
That's probably true.
Let's see. His hobby is music, and his specialty is playing guitar. So, you know.
That's
maybe
cool.
He could come on Fun Point, I guess. On his day off, he goes shopping, buying CDs and clothes. Good for him. All right, let me close. I thought you'd have some cool shit in here, but I guess not, man.
Nah.
Only
Mabo gets cool shit.
Hold on, let me open up this. Can we take a brief detour to the character poll section of this Wikipedia page?
Yeah, sure.
First poll. I don't know if these were done, because there's three of them and there's three seasons. I don't know, but they usually go along with the manga. So let's see. Okay, so for the first two, Kuroko won them. Okay?
That's fine.
So I'll give you first poll, top five. Kuroko, Midorima, Kagami, Kisei, and Izuki. Almine out of the top five.
No way.
Yep. Second poll. Okay. Kuroko, Kisei moving up to second, Tepe in third.
Yes, sir.
Kagami fourth, Almine in fifth. Midorima drops out of the top five.
Okay, I don't like that for him, but I do like season two's a lot better. Yeah, I like the second one.
Third and final character poll. Number five. Okay, one voting block was they went hard to get their guy in this one, because this cannot be true. Number five, Kagami. Number four, Kisei. Number three, Takao.
No way.
The Takao heads were in full force.
No
getting
way.
Their man up
get
to
a
the
job.
Number two, Kuroko. Number one, Akashi. He's the darkness man. He's evil, and that's why he's the most popular.
I'm like, I just pulled up a picture of Takao, and I'm like, you might as well be Izuki, man. I don't know what to tell you.
Okay, I think there are some guys on here, so I'm not going to post the image.
I know, it's because he has a Hawkeye, but it's Takao sucks.
The guy who made it did like a special image of all the boys on there with their rankings and stuff. And Midorima was sixth. He's there holding a yellow balloon. Kisei in fourth is getting absolutely rocked in the face by Almine, and he's like falling over dead.
That's pretty fun.
So that's cool. Number 10, Hanamiya Makoto, the bad boy.
The bad boy?
Number 10, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know, maybe
they
just
saw Makoto and they were like, ah, Persona 5, good sir.
Yeah. All right, I'm gonna close that.
Kasamasaki Daiichi is just like a cool sounding school, so I get it.
It is, yeah. It sounds like a special school where they learn like one specific talent, which I guess is destroying people's bodies in basketball.
Yeah.
Takao, I'm still all right. Let me close that. Takao's
my brain
hobby
can't
is,
stop thinking of him. Takao.
Takao's hobby is like forcing people to vote for him in the Shonen Jump. Yeah. All right. Anyway,
stuffing ballots.
To,
wow.
Back to the game. Hyuga takes a shot that he can hit now and gets a buzzer beater at the end of the first quarter.
Yeah, tie game, 22.
Tie game. And then Imayoshi, I think, goes, ah, Seirin's strength wasn't just a fluke. Bro, they have powers! You've seen them!
Yeah. Momo was right. It is decided then. Mid-roll break.
Yeah. Well, she's always right, so jot that down.
Yeah.
And it is funny that they're like, okay, we think we figured out all the conditions to which Kuroko can activate his vanishing drive. And we go back to the Saiyan bench and he's like, coach, please allow me to use vanishing drive immediately as soon as the second quarter starts.
They won't figure it out.
It's like, bro, they solved it. They know you're dark magics. It's not going to happen.
Please let me ball in, coach.
So if the conditions are right, it's unstoppable. So we've all figured out the secret in unison. Did you know the human eye cannot detect diagonal movements?
Yeah, I was wondering when they were going to integrate that into the show.
Because I'm like firing my arms out, like diagonally right now, and I can see it. Like instead of a T pose, I'm doing like a V pose kind of.
Yeah, for sure.
And I can see that.
You're doing like air traffic control stuff.
Exactly. In my peripherals, yeah. I see me like Davos landing the dragon. Like I can
see
it
happening. Feeling like White Davos. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When a certain condition has been met, the vanishing drive is complete. Ding, it's Kagami. So, here's the secret. I know you've been waiting with bated breath to hear how the vanishing drive is done.
Yeah.
But it has to have Kagami behind Kuroko, and then he looks up at him, and then they look at Kagami.
Yeah, because everybody's gotten eye-lengthening surgery so that they can look at Kagami
look
more.
Look at Kagami more. It's because his presence is so immense that they have to look at him.
Yeah, and then Wakamatsu is like, great, let's kill Kagami then.
So, since the first appearance of the vanishing drive, I have been studying this and zooming in like it's
you've
the
been
fucking
Zapruder
film. I only have one ding, and that comes
is
with
it the OG?
Caveat. It's So every time he does it in game, Kagami is like within at least range to be behind him in the peripherals. There is the time when he shows it to Pink Girl.
Yes.
On the court, Kagami is not there. Dark Pink Girl sees it, Kagami is not there. But she isn't a baller. You know, like she doesn't have
the on-court
experience.
It is funny that like anytime like Kuroko's like thinking about like his cool move, he does remember doing it to like the non-athlete girl who is in love with him, who like he broke her ankles.
And if anything, it would be harder to do on her because she's so focused on him because she's in love with him. So she
exactly.
She can't be misdirected anywhere because she got eye enlarging surgery to look at him more.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
But it is possible he redirected her to like number two or like a passing bus or like a bird in the sky or something, you know, that.
Yeah. Or like a small chested woman to like make feel bad.
Exactly. Yeah. Or a woman with perhaps even larger breasts to make her feel like, you know, like she had a challenge.
Well, if that was the case, Kagami would also have been there.
Yeah, that's
true. He wouldn't have wanted to miss that.
Almine busting through. Hold on a second. What's going on here without me? Hold on.
Yeah, that's why Hugo was doing the fucking like roundhouse kick out of nowhere. Yeah. You did without me? Where's my hug?
So that's the secret. And I was foolishly thinking like, okay, they're gonna do something where they're gonna like tilt their head down or not look at Kagami or like do something where they're just gonna force their attention on Kuroko. Nope, Almine's better than that.
No way. The thing is, it's cool because when they're talking on the bench, he's like, I'm not the team's errand boy. If they want to do a vanishing drive, like, let them. They couldn't fucking pass me. Mm-hmm. Which, guy who got Ignite passed on national TV 5 minutes ago, that would never work on me.
That would never work on
me. But then he's right.
He's right.
Their little tricks don't work on him anymore. He just decided, I've read the script. Fuck you.
He literally says, you may do a special move on me once. And then that's it. I did like when he was standing up, he was like, they couldn't pass me even if hell froze over. And then everyone looks at him, say the line, Almine. And then he says it. The only one who can beat me is me. And then everyone cheers in the stadium.
So sick.
Someone in the crowd says, Almine and the little guy are going one-on-one. He has a name. And it's Kuroko Tetsuya. So
his name is Kuroko's basketball. And honestly, the thing, I'm not doing the thing, which is like, you know, I could return a serve from Serena Williams or whatever. I'm not doing that. Mm-hmm. When Kuroko, he's like top of the key, he's getting ready for his vanishing drive, and Almine like drops back. Mm-hmm. The thing is, if you're 1v1 in Kuroko and he's at the top of the key, that's like already what you should. You know that there's no risk of him doing a pull up jumper
at
that
shooting
point.
A
you
three.
You should be going backwards.
Exactly. You got to get more guys out there to like deflect the pass that's incoming. You should know that. But instead, you can be extremely cool and close your eyes and do a back step and just swat.
And then your body moves in rhythm with Kuroko, and then Brooks becomes the second person in the world to be like, I feel like there may someday be a robust shipping community about this too, for sure. They really just connect on the court.
Uh-huh. He slaps that shit away with his eyes closed. Mom, holy fuck.
Goodbye, Saren.
It's because he knows your basketball so well, Kuroko.
I know you're not out here thinking that a shadow can exist without light. And
a shadow
can defeat the light. No way.
A shadow cannot defeat the light as the camera is, like, very low and you see the stadium lights behind him. It's
he says, check
happen.
It up, little boy. Let's go.
Yeah, come on, little bro. Gotta try better than that. So he says,
all right,
now I'm pissed off. And he immediately goes for Ignite Pass Kai again.
Literally, though nobody's open.
Nobody's open. Even fucking the furry Hata is like, Kuroko, don't do it. but he does it anyway because it looks cool. And he blessed
Rico
that
pulls
shit.
Him because he didn't listen to furry Hata.
He blessed that shit. And
right in Amine's head.
It's called a fadeaway jumper.
He's not even producing the beam in the image.
That literally, someone linked the post, which was made 8 years ago, first of all. And since it's like first got some, you know, viral traction, I already knew he is not shooting a beam. He is catching a ball. And it has been tormenting me since that day. But I don't want to be the guy who, when someone posts that it's called a fadeaway jumper screenshot, is like, actually, he's catching an Ignite Pass Kai from the opponent's team.
Also, his feet are on the ground.
I know.
Fading nor jumping.
Everything is wrong. We're all wrong.
But it is literally the 92 Bulls at the same time.
That is true. It is the 92 Bulls. So there it is. Kuroko Nobasuke, thank you so much.
Yeah, they cracked it.
After that, Amino just drives and does some fucking falling down fadeaway.
He says Muda Muda. It's pretty good.
Amino's formless shot. Everyone loves it. And that, so I was giving them shit before because everyone's like, oh, if this happens, like, you lose the game. You can't let momentum, blah, blah, blah. Saren's playing like shit out there, bro.
No, it's been a bad run Kuroko, like, at the start of the game, I don't know that we talk about it enough, but, like, when Kuroko has his, like, game outfit on, sometimes he's looking real jacked. Like, he is hitting the gym.
It does depend on like, because sometimes he wants to be shadow mode, and when he's not, you know, when he catches the light, it's like you can
see. Right, but sometimes he's taking that fucking cow hormone right before he's looking real jacked.
Exactly.
But at this point, he's looking like Prince Run with the Wind, stance-wise.
Yeah,
it's
he's
over.
Very, he's just, there's like dust coming off of him. So they're like, all right. I do like, as soon as Kuroko started to do his Ignite Pass, Rico was like, time out. And then they finally call the time.
The woke refs are going to let them play.
Yeah, which you need to wait until there's a stoppage and play for a substitution, but you don't need it for a timeout. You can call a timeout as long as you have possession, first of all. Ding. But they let Almine score like 17 points on him before they get Kuroko the fuck out of there.
They wanted to see the formless shot one more time before a timeout.
He got his pass stopped so bad, he's immediately crying on the bench in public in front of everyone.
It's not good. Rico's like, Kuroko, you're out. You've always been out. Mm-hmm. Ladybird sucked. Kill yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know you're chasing it.
So Kagami walks over and grabs Kuroko's head like a basketball. And
he applies the tender version of the Kali vice grip and says, hey, man, there's no such thing as the episode title. And then,
don't give up.
Check out this new ED. There's guitars in it.
Check this out. Yeah, I'm going to do something cool out there. I'm going to go one-on-one with Almine. I couldn't do it before, but after seeing your spirit broken, like, beyond repair, I think I can go one-on-one with him now.
Yeah, I watched my friend Tepe die, and I just watched you die in two different ways, so I feel like I should probably step it up and show my new, like, Shake Shack maneuver that I've been working on.
Everyone's going to like it. Anyway, that's the episode. I guess we're into the second quarter. I feel like we have like four episodes of this game coming up.
It would make sense.
But that's good because it gives us more time to look at Almine and his various formless shudo and stuff like that.
Right.
So I am looking forward to that. Questions. If you have a question, you can send it to us at You Love to Hear It on Twitter. Evil Pilled and Vizier Matching, friend of the show, Kay Darling, says, do you think that Rico's dad can always redeem himself through old man? And now I'll say the word out loud that I never know if I'm saying right. Yowie. No. No.
I don't feel like... I feel like the old man and old man Yowie, and I don't know shit, but like I feel like they have to like bring some redemptiveness to the table.
Yeah, so far...
I don't want Mavo to take him to homecoming, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, Mavo to like take somebody nicer.
Let me just look up something. What's Kisei's team's name?
Who cares?
I need it for information. Kaijo. Kaijo High. Because I want to look up the coach there, Genta Takeuchi.
What's he up to? Is his wife dead?
I want to see if he has like a history with Mabo or like.
And the more we say Mabo, the more I like him. I was really down on him.
I think I just like saying Mabo.
I think it's fun.
Okay. It is revealed that Takeuchi and Kagetora Ida used to be love rivals competing for Riko Ida's mother's love. So. Oh, fuck, dude. It also says he used to be in love with Masako Araki, who is the coach of Yosen High, and she used to be in a biker gang.
Oh, she's so sick.
She's so fucking cool, dude.
Damn. Please, God, let me meet her.
Wait, hold on. In hers, she has... oh, man, this is good. I went to her page, and she has a section where it says she dislikes Harasawa, and Harasawa is the coach of Almine's team. So she's the only one, I think, who has a dislike section.
Okay.
So that's cool. Anyway, her hobby is motorcycles, so...
That's cool.
Yeah.
Could be me
anyway,
as well.
So there's kind of like... Maybe they can both realize Takeuchi and Rico dad can be like, we were fighting over this woman when we should have been, like, setting our eyes on each other. You know, maybe something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We could have, I don't know. You know, you could have tried to vanishing drive past me, but I could have moved in sync with the rhythm of your body.
Exactly. And then you get a foul, and then you get an offensive foul on me.
And then maybe you'd stop being like a weird pedophile.
Could you try that maybe one time in your life, please?
Yeah, that'd be tight, man. That'd be
fucking dope, dude.
Yeah, that'd be sick. I would love that for you and for all of us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's it. So thank you, Kay. If no one got me, I know Kay got me.
Uh-huh. It's fucking Yamaguchi always saying shit like that.
Yeah. what do we do? Patreon?
Slap City. Yeah.
Yeah, Slap City. So this, you went first last time. All right. So thank you to our best friend of the show and above tier patrons, starting with Valerie W, Tufster McGee, The Master DS, Sylvie Bullet, So Nasty, Silvery Air, Sensual Kazoo, Several Lucky Dice Kirby, Ryan West, Reliet, Paul Blart Fleshcart, Old Petey, MJ Jenny, Matt Berger, Maggie Rice, Looker and Nanu, Laura Randall, Lenini, Don't You Be a Meanie, Labyrinth Enjoyer, Kiwi, K Darling, It Was a Penguin, Heckabee, Ducky Aisha, Derek,
Great Big Sword,
David Besser Ranks with Lesser, Chris, Hey Bro, Caroline Savage, Bren Flakes, Brianna, Audrey Olson, Antigone Progeny, Anna Exby, Andres Gonzalez, Alex Moomin, Aditya Kumar, Sarah and Blair, Roy, Paul Bechtel, Patrick Gallagher, Neve Noel Williams, Josh Veal, Joquisha Joestar, Elliot Valentine, Electric Gaunt, Destry Hawk, Curse Goat, Caroline Belock, Big Flat Bunt, Barrier Trio, Bing! And Alex Schaub. Thank you for your generous donations.
Yeah.
And thank you for listening. Join us for the next probably 3 months while we discuss this game. And then,
yeah, you know, speaking of the next, I know the next episode we have the normal 2, and then we have a 0.5, which I don't, is that, do you know if
no,
that's like a recap?
It's a recap with like a couple of bonus scenes, so.
Yeah, it says The Rise of the Phantom Sixth Man, and it's a shot of Kuroko sitting with Aomine, which seems interesting, but
it seems like probably
a clip show.
Yeah, it's mostly a clip show with probably like 4 minutes of added material of when they like played together. So if you want to watch that, you can, but we're not going to
I had a lot of Drake to listen to, so I don't know if
You have about an hour and 20 minutes of Drake to listen to for fun points. So I don't know if you're going to have time to watch episode 41.
I don't know. I had some Wawa pizza last night, so I think I need to take it easy this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, today we went out for breakfast, and we went to this diner, and I got Eggs Benedict, and they had a special chorizo Eggs Benedict with chorizo sausage instead of the Canadian bacon.
How's that treating you?
That shit went crazy, but I think I'm still digesting it, so ask me in a couple hours, and we'll see how I feel.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Like, I still have the energy from it. You know, I'm not feeling the,
Yeah, it's gonna be, you know, the samurai sheathed their blade 2 seconds ago, and you, I feel fine.
Yeah, yeah. I forgot to mention this at the start, saving it for the end for the real heads. Yesterday at my school was our second that I've been to annual Red and White Night, where the teams play games against each other.
Uh-huh.
And Red Team, since I've joined the Red Team, which is literally just based on your last name, and everyone is like, this is my allegiance and I will die for it.
Of course, yeah.
Red Team is 2-0 in the staff tug of war since I have joined.
Let's go.
So I'm just saying. I didn't win musical chairs, though. I was eliminated.
Yeah. I'm the Shimada Mart in the crowd that's like, the Red Team has the mental edge, because if you lose the first tug of war, nobody's ever been able to come back.
Exactly. We won 2 out of 3. We swept them. So, nice. Like, 1-2, done.
Yikes. Only 2, get back to class.
Exactly, yeah. Goodbye. Hey, stick to teaching.
That's right.
Anyway, I didn't win musical chairs, so I have to be... You know,
that's kind of a Mickey Mouse game. On it, it all depends on who's calling it and like how much full contact we're allowed.
It's luck based, so you know, you always need a degree of luck. But musical chairs,
yeah, you
want
to have everybody involved. But you know, when it comes to skill based games, it's like, oh, I lost the cakewalk. Not your fault, man.
They had
lost tug of war though. That is your fault.
They had one game for the kids that was like, it's like the ideal athletic competition. It's like all aspects. You have to like, they set up hula hoops and you have to like hop into each one. And then you have to get to the end and like shoot a basketball into the hoop.
Easy.
And then when you do that, you have to run all the way back and jump over this big like foam wall and land on the other side and like pass the flag to the next guy.
I need to get back into teaching. I would fucking destroy
it. But it sucks because most games are, teachers only get a couple games. Most of them are for students. And I'm like, I could do this.
Too woke.
due to woke, I can't play against high schoolers in like an athletic competition. There was also one where you have to do like a carry a person relay and like pick up a kid and run all the way down around the cone and bring him back and drop him off. And then the next team picks him up. Sure. And I would be an ideal teammate for that.
Right. Yeah.
Because I can make myself weigh 47 pounds if I need to. So we're new world record in that game.
Yeah. We'd be in there doing fucking like Mario and Luigi bro moves.
Anyway, so that red team did win the night overall.
Yes,
so.
Sir.
White team won last year, so we're even now on the overall, you know, standings since I've been there.
Yeah, there's three. This is the next year is going to be like the Winter Cup of the Tug
exactly.
of War Wars.
Exactly. Do you have a sports tweet to take us out on?
I do. I don't think I've done this one yet, but I might have. But it's so good that it's fine. It's a classic Kevin Durant tweet from 1:11 p.m. August 19th, 2009. Kevin says, Spock as a little kid would beat the hell out of Macaulay Culkin in Home Alone.
Spock?
Spock. Like from Trek?
From Trek, yeah.
Spock as a little kid would beat the hell out of Macaulay Culkin in Home Alone. I don't know what to tell you.
I bet he would. You are right about that. Like, no question.
Did JJ Star Trek come out? It came out in May 2009, so this is maybe it had come out on home video at the time.
Yeah, he was just thinking about it.
Oh yeah, because little kid Spock does beat ass in that movie.
Oh, okay, so that he was definitely watching that show.
There's like some Spock bullies who come up and they're like, "Hello, Spock, you having emotions again? I bet." And he's like, "You bet," and then he like throws him into like the pain hole.
No, they probably deserved it.
Yeah, it was a fine movie.
All right, well, thank you for listening. Thanks to everyone except Rico's dad again, even Mabo. Mabo, you are climbing the power rankings. Every time
Mabo,
you say your name.
You need to date up, not down.
Exactly. Semper Dunkey. We'll see you next time.
Take her easy.
Bye.
Bye.